60s folky Eric Anderson is our guest today. He was a fixture of the Greenwich Village folk scene in the early 1960s with songs like Thirsty Boots and Violets of Dawn as precursors to the singer-songwriters who were to follow in the 70s. Still very much active, he's recorded a couple of albums in tribute to his fellow village folkies, as well as his first ever live album, Blue Rain, released in May of this year. I started our conversation talking about the beginnings of his career and what drew him to New York and the scene there.
In terms of my hook into this thing is that when I started off in the village, I made a record for Vanguard called Today is the Highway, but I didn't start touring right away. So I had a lot of time on my hands. So I would go into these clubs like every single night. And that's where I got my master's degree, you know, listening to Lightning Hopkins, Son House, Skip James, you know, and Mance Lipscomb, all these people. And a lot of, it was a great blessing. And also Charlie Mingus, John Coltrane, Miles, all those people were going through town. I just had time. So that's how I learned, really learned my lessons.
Would they book a quote, folk singer with a
well,
jazz
here's
or
the
blues
deal,
act?
David. Here's the deal. In the early days, when Dave Van Ronk was kind of the king of the scene, I guess he always was, always will be.
The mayor of McDougal.
These places, they couldn't get cabaret licenses. So they weren't permitted to have jazz. They wouldn't live music. They weren't permitted to have for alcohol.
Oh, okay.
There was a whole huge license thing. In fact, you know, Charlie Parker and Billy Hall, they got busted for heroin. When they lost that cabaret license, they were out of New York. They were 86th. It was just over. It was very stringent, very strict. Union guys would show up, demand their cut, like in the middle of your set, you know, this kind of thing. So, and it happened in Philadelphia too. I remember people coming in trench coats, you know, wanting money from the union. But no, they didn't mix it up that much. The way it really started is that they could get a folk singer and pass the basket, or they could get a comedian, you know, like Richard Pryor, Woody Allen, or people like that, or Wavy Gravy, Hugh Romney. People could go in and they weren't really paid officially. And then something changed. So they could get like an NYU student, like a Joan Baez lookalike, could go in and sit with long hair dangling over a guitar, looking kind of pretty across her legs, and they pass. She could make a little money for her, you know, on the side. Or a comedian would come in, pass the hat. But then it got a little more serious, and they were charging admission, and things got a little more official, but it still was not a cabaret. You couldn't have a band, and you couldn't have a liquor license. So that's the milieu from where I got hooked into the blues.
And it's interesting that you use a song that kind of connects things up to begin this, which is a Fred Neil song,
yeah,
which hooks up with the blues too. So
I like Fred very much. Fred was probably my greatest inspiration and influence in the village.
Well, this is Eric Anderson's solo take on this, which is also on the new live album of Fred Neil's song.
You wanna know a secret just between you and me? Don't know where I'm going to, where I'm gonna be. That's the other side of this life I've been leading. Well, the other side of this life. My whole world's in an uproar. My whole life's upside down. Don't know where I'm going to. Always bumming around. That's the other side of this life I've been leading. Well, the other side of this life. Don't know what I'm doing half the time. Don't know where I go. I think I'll buy me a sailing boat and sail the Gulf of Mexico. That's the other side of this life I've been leading. on the other side of this life. Think I'll go to Nashville, down to Tennessee. It's 10 cent of life I've been leading, boys are gonna be the death of me. That's the other side of this life I've been leading. Oh, the other side of this life.
The long tremolo decay on that one. That's Eric Anderson playing live for us today on the World Cafe, and the version of Fred Neil's "The Other Side of This Life," and does a version of that on the live album. But also a lot of the music you were talking about, you've lovingly redone and connected on a couple of great albums called "The Street Was Always There" and "Waves." The music of this time period. What was your motivation to put those together?
Well, a couple reasons, David. Was besides just being a Valentine to my friends on the street, they were. I stumbled across some Bear family records by Peter LaFarge, mm-hmm. a guy who's been basically forgotten. He was an American Indian, Shakespearean actor, rodeo, did rodeo circuit. And also a friend of, the early people like Woody Guthrie and Pete Seeger, but he was a maverick. And he wrote these very simple, kind of unaffected songs that almost naive painting or something, because it wasn't like he was the greatest guitarist and the greatest singer, but he had the greatest feelings, the greatest understanding of the grip. And I realized that a lot of things he was writing, nobody knew about it anymore. And the other thing was, a lot of the things he was writing were true today. So what they call protest music, what is it? I mean, it's talking about things that matter to people. And he wrote a lot of stuff, great songs. So I thought, people should remember these. So I figured if I do a couple albums, or at least I started with the one and then we did the second, to familiarize people a little bit with their work, that they might explore or get interested in what they were doing. They might dig deeper into it. Hmm. I mean, lots of people know Bob Dylan, and they know a lot about maybe Phil Oakes, people like that, and Buffy St. Marie. But there were a bunch of people like Patrick Sky, a guy named Julius Lester. We really wanted, he's from Arkansas. We didn't have enough room. I mean, you could have done like a CD of each artist, mm-hmm. actually, So it was kind of frustrating, but we just kind of nicked the surface. But I hope we try to get a little bit in, Even Lou Reed, was was, you know, writing stuff for the Velvet Underground. We did one of his things, songs. He didn't hang out in the Village. He was in another. We joked about it, like it's kind of the same city, but different subways, different trains. He was on the east side. We were on the west side. But there is, you know, Tim Buckley was around. Yep. These are the people on the set.
I'm curious about your Warhol connections, because I know you're from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if that was the connection, or was it from New York?
No, I mean, we became friends because, well, I made a movie for him called Space, and then we found out we were from Pittsburgh, and then we became friends, you know, after that. And as far as I know, I was the only one he gave me a gigantic painting of Marlon Brando from The Wild One, which I had for many years, which I don't have anymore. It's worth like $56 million. And I did some screen tests and went to some shows. And I was in and out because I was not always in New York City. And it's funny, I didn't meet Lou Reed till his funeral, which was strange.
Huh.
We went to the memorial service. Yoko Ono spoke. It was a gathering afterwards. And besides Grace Jones and Klaus von Bülow was Lou Reed. And he said Andy was the only one in the music business that never tried to rip him off. That's saying something.
Wow. Eric Anderson is our guest today on the World Cafe. And why don't you do another? You want to do another one that's on the new live one?
Yeah. Here's one. I'll mix it up a little bit. Let me get my thing. My dreams, they never fail me, never miss the mark. Sleeping at the strangest hours, trying to beat the clock. If a picture's worth a thousand words, a photograph proves that. Or can you even picture love if you can't afford to laugh? It's changing like a roll of dice, nothing's really sure. Hate is spreading like disease, ain't no easy cure. Beyond the blackened skyline, above the burning rain, dreams never turned to ashes, that was before. Before everything changed. Change before everything changed. Well, I used to be an optimist. I used to play the lottery. I don't even bother to lock the front door when I leave. My bed's a broken boxing ring. My life's a rundown gym. What once was Charles Bukowski is now Emily Dickinson. My future has moved out of town. It's that emptiness you hear. Silent, empty tower screams. The coast was never clear. But when I look out on the highway, things are looking strange. Didn't it all seem so familiar right before? Before everything, before. Before everything changed. Change, change, change. Before everything changed. Well, I'm sitting in this sad cafe. I'm looking in your eyes. Looking good but old and me. Looking old and wise. Sidelined by the future. Leaves only me to blame. The future wins and soon forgets. The future don't explain. I don't need illumination. I don't need no poison pen. Words, they live their own life. They know exactly what they meant. But well, I miss you more than I did before. Nothing seems the same. Didn't we all feel vain and self-assured right up until... Until everything, until
until everything changed. Change, 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 until everything changed. Change, change. Stuck and clouding over, the river's rising fast. My baby's love was sad and true, but I knew that it wouldn't last. I heard the midnight special pass by an hour ago. Is there someone here to get me high? A man who sunk so low. The clock came turning backwards, the sands blow at my feet. If you ever hear from the man upstairs, I'd love to hear him speak. But I'm cashing all my chips in, man, I'm too dumb to play this game. I used to plan an hour ahead, that was before. Before everything. Before. Before. Before everything changed. Change, change, change. Before everything changed. Change, change, change. Before everything changed. Change, change, change. Before everything.
Eric Anderson's live today on the cafe, and you know, I'm listening to that and realizing that you could have written that anywhere in your career because the lyrics are could have happened at any point.
Had a little bit with recent events.
That's what I thought. Yeah, it seemed like a post 9/11 song.
Yeah,
you're touring a lot. Is this something you do? You tour because you love it, or do you, is it a necessity, or how do you feel about it?
Well, the way I do it is I don't really tour that much. I just take things I like. Mm. You know, if it's a good gig, if the money's good, you know, to be honest with you, I mean, it's like I'm professional. I did Hootenannies about 40, 30 years ago, but I mean, or a benefit or something, you know, for a noble cause. But basically, if I like the show, I like the situation, I like the idea of it, then I'll do it. If it's something that's interesting to me, appeals to me. Doing the road thing, just doing like 100 dates, doesn't appeal to me that much. Mm-hmm. So I'll play like the capitals like Paris or Rome or London, or I'm going to Berlin after this for a festival. But and sometimes some shows, you know, in between. But I do spend a lot of time writing, so I don't. I love singing and playing, but I'm not, you know, chasing gigs all over the place. I don't do that anymore.
And this new live album recorded in Norway is obviously not your first time.
It's my first live album ever.
First live album, but certainly not your first time recording there and spending.
Yeah, you've done
time
your
there.
Homework.
Well, we had you and Rick Danko and that band in here, and which was pretty. It was is the connection been through your lineage or how?
Oh, the Norway thing.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I have children over there, and I had a house there. Hmm. I've always been basically traveling back and forth between New York and Europe for the last 24 years. Hmm. And I met this singer there named Jonas Fjell, who's a very highly gifted master musician and singer, writer. And we started doing some stuff together, messing around, because I didn't really have anybody to talk to there. So I was kind of in my own world, as usual. And we started doing some things. And I had an album on Columbia Records that was, after I did this album called Blue River, that got sabotaged by Columbia Records. They made it disappear because the boss got fired and people wanted to keep their jobs and was deemed an unfinished project. So they didn't want to have that albatross around their neck, so they basically lost the record. I don't know how many years later it got found. It was hidden in Nashville studios where I was recording it. And it came up by... you got an exclusive story here, David. I'm doing this for the World Cafe because I think the people...
Yeah, I'd never heard this end of the story.
You have an intelligent audience.
Yeah.
So it came back by the dead of night with no, you know, trying to get in the Columbia vaults is like trying to break into a safe deposit box Chase Manhattan Bank. I mean, you just don't go in there without papers and codes. And they snuck the boxes in unlabeled. They were just found piled on a floor. And that's where they found the record. How do you like that?
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
What goes around comes around.
At the time, what did you, I mean, did you have any recourse at the time? Or was there anything you could do?
Oh, no. I mean, Clive Davis got fired.
Yeah.
He started Arista.
Ended up on Arista.
Him.
Yeah.
And, you know, then they fired him from Arista and he started J Records as the most successful rap record label in the business. So, I mean, they just, you know, can't keep a good guy down. But, I mean, no, there's not much to do because, you know, what do you do? Hire I had a pretty zen outlook on it in the sense that I knew it was killing my career, that the momentum that I had there was probably going to be lost. But, worst things could happen. I mean, you know, I was friends with Janis Joplin. We lost her. I knew people like Jimi Hendrix in the streets. I mean, the worst things could happen. So I had a zen outlook in the sense that, you know, I knew it was going to show up one day. It's going to eventually surface. And when it got reviewed as a new, they didn't review it like, oh, here's an album. It sounds good for something that's 20 years old.
Right.
They reviewed it like a new album. It got 4 stars in Rolling Stone. It got great reviews all over the place. Sadly, it's out of print. It's called Stages of the Lost Album.
It's once again out of print.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But you got to buy 6,000 of them or something to you know, get them to make them again.
Eric Anderson is our guest today, and we're talking about the past, and we're hearing some songs from the latest album. And
Well, there's some also from Beat Avenue. I've been mixing them up here.
Cool. What's next?
This is a song called Salt on Your Skin. I don't know. I'd like to do it for you. I can feel myself sinking back to the earth. Each new idea seems to make it much worse. Maybe death is a mask for some kind of rebirth. It's dragging me slow through the mud. I'm driving through Holland in the middle of the night. The rain's blowing fiercely over the dikes. Over the sea, I can just make out the lights. But I don't know how deep is your love. Well, I look over yonder and what do I see? A big band of angels waving to me. They sing to get closer, but there ain't time, you see. My below has no use for. So many places, where do I begin? Soon as it's over, it starts up again. All I remember of you as the memory grows thin are the tears and the dark and the salt on your skin. Well, I never played Hamlet, but I learned some good lines. How good is timeless when you're running out of time? Why does life with a reason get tricked by a rhyme? Or what's the trick of not turning back? I ask you how far does far go? Where this crossroad ends, baby, I'll never know. I never was one to get knocked off the road, but I sometimes got tripped off the track. I search in the border, why search anymore? Shrouded in a mist, like a faraway shore. Well, I don't even know where we're is anymore. And I wouldn't know fiction from fact. I've been so many places, where do I begin? Soon as it's finished, it starts up again. All I remember of you
As the memory grows thin, are the tears and the dark and the salt on your skin? Well, you made a sad smile when I touched your face, tracing lines with my fingers that I couldn't replace. I pointed to blue skies bigger than space, but I knew that you only saw rain, rain, rain. Some get so tired and sick of a romance. Some are unlucky cause they never had the chance. For some, love can be just the heat of the dance that's driving you slow through the flame. The sky is sending messages into the air. I don't know many places, but I'd know anywhere. When the dealer dealt danger, I was getting my share. But there's no point in talking about that. I've been so many places, where do I begin? Soon as it's over, it starts up. All I remember of you, as the memory grows thin, are the tears and the dark and the salt on your skin. Salt on your skin. Salt on your skin.
Salt on Your Skin, Eric Anderson, live in our studios. That's a song that appeared on Eric's 2003 album, Beat Avenue. And our thanks to Eric Anderson for joining us today. We're going to do a song by the artist that Eric began his set with, Fred Neil, a Fred Neil original, when we get back here to the World Cafe.